Very recently, I was trawling the net, as I tend to do. I came across a website called the Best Film Awards, and it shone a spotlight on a filmmaker called Dr. Malkai Shabtai, who happens to be an applied anthropologist. She's worked for almost 40 years with the Ethiopian Jewish community in Israel. That's amongst many other things. And I thought, now that is somebody I want to talk to about the movie that she has made called Nafkot. So delighted that on the line to talk to me today is Dr. Malkai Shabtai. Thank you for being with me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Dr. Shabtai, just before we even start the conversation, I'm just interested how and what is the correct way to refer to the Ethiopian Jewish community. I know Falashmura is no longer a term that is in favor. Is Beta Israel correct? Is it not correct? Why not just Ethiopian Jews?
Okay, a good question. The communities that are in Ethiopia are Beta Israel. The specific community I made the film with called Beta Israel of Katshane and Semyon Shoah. These are the areas where they live, while the communities in Israel are also Beta Israel, and they prefer to be called in their original name. Yes, in Israel, they are under the general roof and the way in Israel diverse communities called. So they are Ethiopian Jews, but actually their name and the name they want to be called is Beta Israel.
What is your connection to this community, and how come it stretches back almost 40 years?
Okay, so I am the first Israeli researcher. I met the first Ethiopian Jews who came to Israel in a small town called Atlit while I was a student at Haifa University. At that time, it was the early 80s, it all was very secret because they were brought in the different operations from Sudan. And I came to visit in the absorption center and I visited the kindergarten. And to say it very simple, I fall in love with the children and then with the special new community that came to Israel. And actually, I was about to go and do my master's degree in Australia. And I took a decision to stay in Israel and study these newcomers and help to introduce them to Israeli society, to the school system, and to the rest of the official authorities and everything else in Israel. And 45 years already passed. In the middle, I was also part of the Israeli delegation in the Israeli embassy in Addis Ababa when it was open in the 90s, and I was part of the big operation, Operation Solomon, and I worked as a counselor and as a like a giving consolation, and I work and guided just about everybody that works with this community, including social workers, psychologists, teachers, decision makers, and so on and so on. But in the last 7 years, I made contact with the group that I'm still engaged with in Katshane and Semyon Shoah, which is very, very interesting because we heard about them in a conference at that, then it was 25 years before, but we never actually contact them and work with them and just couldn't believe that there is another Jewish community in Ethiopia. But after I got one phone call from a colleague, I stopped in Addis Ababa on my way back visiting another Jewish community, the Lemba in Zimbabwe, where I went to spend Pesach. And from that moment, this was in 2018, I stayed engaged with this community already more than 7 years. And every 6 months, more or less, I went back to stay and work in Ethiopia. And in this journey, we also did the film and the
Are
book.
these towns anywhere close to Gondar, which is the area in Ethiopia from which most
No.
Ethiopian Jews seem to have come from?
No. First of all, Ethiopian Jews came from Gondar and Tigray and many other places. The ones that come in the 90s come totally from another area. And this community
Interesting.
live in a region called Semyon Shoah. This is north central Ethiopia in a very beautiful mountaineer mountaining area, and they live there in hidden synagogues and also in a specific neighborhood called Kachane in Addis Ababa. Now I will surprise you and tell you that until now, until these days, in most of the hidden synagogues where I visited, I am the first and only white person they ever see until today.
Wow. Wow, that's a surprise. Yeah, I would have thought by now they would have all been, you know, discovered in inverted commas.
Look, they are very disconnected because they live in very remote areas, no roads, no electricity, and they are hiding. Now, out of the 45 secret synagogues they were built, only 15 left. And among them, most of them already gave up and immersed in Christianity because of persecution mainly. Some of them, I visited 5 out of the 15, are still holding to their secret traditions. And most of the young generation live in Kachane in Addis Ababa. Among them, people that are already, you know, get higher education, engineers, teachers, even pilots, artists, and so on and so on. But there is a very interesting linkage and system how the people who live in Kachane actually support the hidden synagogues and only go there when they are adults and they can participate in the ceremony. Otherwise, they cannot go to the hidden synagogues because it's still hidden from them.
Absolutely remarkable. So then I would imagine if ever there was talk about Aliyah to Israel, there would be issues with the rabbinate. I'm sure there are many who would be questioning the legitimacy or authenticity of their Judaism.
Well, I have a breaking news to you actually today. So first I want to tell you, I lost something here. First I want to tell you that during these last 7 years that I'm engaged with the community, I met just about everyone, the Kesoch, the Ethiopian traditional leaders, parliament members, rabbis, and decision makers, and so on and so on. I can tell you in short that so far our biggest achievement in Ethiopia with the mayor of Addis Ababa is to receive a land for Jewish cemetery for the first time in history. And unfortunately, we already used it and buried the first person there. So that's what we achieved firstly in Ethiopia. With a Orthodox rabbi, one of the leading Orthodox rabbis in Israel, after 5.5 years, he went to go and visit the community. And after that, he actually agreed and sent a rabbi to the community for 6 weeks. I had to do the fundraising with Nafkot and the leader of the community in the U.S. So we did a fundraising and we were able to pay and cover the expenses of a rabbi. And here is another interesting fact. For the last 3 years, maybe 3.5, the chief rabbi of Romanian Jews teach this community once a week. Can you believe that?
That's pretty remarkable, actually. It really is remarkable.
And the breaking news I want to tell you, and the breaking news because it's, oh, wow, something fall. Okay. And the breaking news I want to tell you because it just, I got this today. Well, I've been meeting Buzhi Herzog when he was the chairperson of the Jewish Agency. And what I told him, look, I'm not talking about Aliyah right now. We understand, the community understand that everybody is busy with the issue of the Falas Mura who are waiting for years in Addis Ababa and in Gona. We don't talk about that. What we want is that this community will be recognized as a Jewish community in diaspora, just like everybody else. And it should not anymore be like my own work and community. Like I say, my own Jewish agency. I send rabbis. I send volunteers. I come there and support. I spend all my private retirement savings on making this film. So what we are asking and why it's breaking news today, because I just got a message from the person, new person, that is the head of the Aliyah and Integration Department, requested by the chairperson of the Jewish Agency, Doron Almog, to meet with me again and discuss the process and the meaning recognizing this community as a Jewish community in diaspora, giving them all the rights that other Jewish communities in diaspora are getting. So, and then we do a process with the chief rabbis and with other people, you know, in the process of formal conversion and issues like this. But we are not, of course, they want to make aliyah, but for them, it's much more spiritual thing. They say, in one day, we will get back, we will go back to the place where we came from, meaning Jerusalem. So they don't talk about aliyah in the modern way that people are fighting for aliyah. No, this is not the issue. Spiritually, they believe that they should get back and save their community from being disappearing. And they suffer prejudice and suffer anti-Semitism in the Ethiopian local form. So this is what we do. We struggle all together to give them, to grant them the rights they should have. And unfortunately, it's all by, so far, by donation, using NAFCOT for fundraising, and struggling and meeting and trying again and again.
I don't want to run out of time, and I only have about 2-3 minutes left with you. Talk to me about NAFCOT and where one can see it. Why did you make the movie? Just talk about NAFCOT.
Actually, I made the film because it was a community request. After 2 years I worked with the community, they told me they are ready to share their story to the rest of the world. So what I did, I went to film school when I was 16 years old to study filmmaking. I decided to take all my retirement savings to cover the expenses for these 7 years of work, engagement, and filmmaking. And we made the film, and we used the film to continue the awareness and struggle. Now, the way to watch the film is either by inviting me to South Africa to screen the film, or by communicating with me for doing online screenings and Q&A. And just before we finish our talk this time, I can tell you that my second film is not less interesting because I documented for in 15 years work the story of the Moroccan Jews who immigrated 210 years ago from Morocco to the Amazon. And I researched the established communities in the big cities, and I researched the offsprings of Jewish families, and what are they look like, how do they look like today, and what are their dreams and hopes. So I'm continuing to develop my research on diverse Jewish communities, just because I believe that the future of the Jewish nation and the people of Israel lay in these diverse communities, and we all need to wake up and give a hand everywhere they are, including the stories we have in South Africa, but maybe we will talk about it in another time.
I have got the biggest smile on my face. You and I are not going to lose contact, and we are going to arrange that both those films are screened in South Africa. You have my word, it's going to happen. This is important work, and it needs to be supported. One last crazy, and it almost seems disrespectful, question to end on, but I have to ask it. When I saw the name NAFCOT, I nearly fell off my chair. Understanding a little bit of Yiddish, I thought it was NAFCA, which is not what you want it to mean. I went and I Googled. Apparently, it's the name of an Ethiopian woman's head covering. Why did you choose that name, which can so easily be confused with something which it shouldn't be confused with?
Okay, so that's a confusion. The word NAFCOT is very deep spiritual word that the community is using. Firstly, they wait every week for Shabbat with yearning. With deep yearning, they wait and accept Shabbat. And the other general yearning, they live their life. They struggle to survive because of their deep yearning to return to Jerusalem. So that was the word I chose. NAFCOT means yearning.
Dr. Malka Shabtai, thank you so much for your time this afternoon on Chai FM. Toda rabah lach.
Toda rabah, and please keep in touch. South Africa and Israel are not that far.